huge part of my journey. And for a while I was on my own. Like I was in, the secret place, just had no other sisters in Christ. And I prayed fervently. I was like, God, please send me women who are walking with you in this way, who, are walking in devotion, who are in their feminine essence and like just experiencing you the way that I am. And slowly but surely, because he is so faithful, he started, gifting me sisters like Martine and the many women that I'm now deeply and closely connected to. And it's in that mothering that occurs within that frequency field that we cultivate together. And again, just like you said, it's like not in a way that I need anyone to fix me or save me or whatever. It's just like, let me reflect to you your own radiance. Like, let me help to remind you who you are, because as that woman is postured to God, it's like God's light is shining right through her eyes. So as I look at her, I'm remembering that luminosity in myself. And then there was this like accountability and this deepening into my own holy responsibility as I was surrounded by other women who were also anchoring their own feminine maturity and really anchoring in their relationship with God and letting that guide their lives, their marriages, their friendships, their businesses, their service, like all of the things. It was just such a holy expansion.
Welcome to the Paris Hodges Podcast, a space for conversations rooted in curiosity of these divinely created bodies we've been given and this human experience as a whole. This is a space where we will explore all the complexity and nuance of existing on this spinning rock, while I share story and dialogue with some individuals I consider to be great investigators of our bodies, many of which have had profound impact on my journey and understandings. I'm grateful you are here. Let's dive in. Greetings and hallucinations, friends. Welcome back to the Paris Hodges Podcast. Today, we have a truly special episode in honor of International Women's Day, and we are diving straight into the heart of sisterhood, the healing journey back to Christ, and the transformative power of feminine spaces with my incredible guest, Nina Eichels. If you aren't yet familiar with Nina, Nina is a devoted mentor in faith-based and feminine leadership, guiding women to restore their relationship with God and reclaim their beloved identity. She's the founder of the global community and sacred sisterhood Way of Grace, a mission and movement to bring love where it hasn't gone before. Through her monthly membership, community ceremonies, and the Way of Grace podcast, Nina is lighting the path for women to resurrect the fullness of their feminine essence and anchor their worth and wholeness as daughters of God. Today, we explore Nina's journey back to Christ, the impact of sharing this journey in online spaces, and how being held by women taught her Christ's love first. We'll also delve into how living in her body rather than with her body transformed her relationships with men and God, and why women are designed for communion first through the body. This is a special episode also because both Nina and I are utilizing the recording on our respective podcasts. So you will hear a bit more dialogue between the two of us, as well as questions that Nina had prepared in advance. I also share a poem that I have written for the women who have held me in such beautiful ways along my journey back to myself and to Christ. Let's dive in.
Oh, Paris, I'm already tearing up a little bit. I have some tears in my eyes. I was just so blessed by that prayer that you spoke. And it truly does feel like such a blessing every time I sit down to collaborate and co-create with another woman. And Paris, you are someone that I have just been receiving, listening to, attuning to, I think for a little over a year. I started hearing you on a couple of my dear sisters' podcasts, and I was really drawn to you because of what you were sharing around minerals and metabolic health and motherhood and just how vulnerable you are in sharing your story and your own path of healing, that even though I didn't know you, I just always felt connected to you through how generous you are with your story. And what I could feel was just this like strong pulse of your heart always moving through every conversation in space I got to receive you in. And I feel you just to emit this frequency of poetry, and there's something in your language that feels very resonant with my own. And I could just like always soften into the textures of that whenever you share and speak. So I just really can't wait to see what becomes illuminated through this conversation, because I feel we've both just been like orbiting in our little fields, but holding, yeah, such divine similarities through our work and our beliefs and our relationship with God.
Yeah. Oh, Nina, that's such a gift to receive. Thank you for that. And I feel like I could just hold the mirror and return all of that. But from a like very Christed like relationship, which I know is part of where this conversation will lead, that it was around this time last year that I started to be called back. And it was because of that space of the women, like the feminine eros spaces that I was being called into, that really started like helping me to remember what I had been called into back in high school. And then going like, oh, there's something here that I like, that I miss, that I really miss, that is like missing in my life. And so I just so value your bold courage to stand on the front lines in the gap of in a space that I think that those who have yet to experience, and I pray over their hearts that they get to fully receive that hand in their hand, have a lot. I've experienced it as a lot of judgment towards, and I think unless you've actually like been walked into that relationship, it and so anyways. I know what it takes to stand on the front lines and to be bold and courageous in that way. And so thank you. Thank you, Nina, because it has helped see there's so many women like you and Martine and like Courtney Ballard who were so have been so willing to really stand firmly in their faith and be set apart and different in a world that can become very oversaturated or fearful of that, like that level of intimacy, that really helped lead me back as a prodigal daughter.
Yeah, this is such wow. Yeah, I'm really receiving that reflection, Paris. And I will say too, my own walk and how I share about my relationship with God and Christ initially had a lot of resistance around. It was something that I was terribly fearful of speaking about, sharing about, telling my story, sharing my testimony around. And I've shared this in this space. You know, it took me almost 2 years to like really bring forward what I was, you know, being yoked to relationally, kind of in the secret place with God. He really put me in, yeah, this really quiet and holy place for almost 2 years to really just deepen my own intimacy with him, so that then I could walk forth, I feel, as a stronger bridge for his love and his word and his heart and his truth. Like he spoke to me from day one, like, this is going to be your service. Like you are going to say my name. You are going to help me bring my daughters home. But I was like, no way am I doing that. I can't say the name of Jesus because people are going to think I'm a weirdo, crazy freak. They're not going to get it. I'm going to be so misunderstood. And what Christ kept reminding me of during that time was I was wildly misunderstood. I was, deemed heretical. I was, totally obliterating the system. And he said, that's what I'm calling you to do too. Like you are going to be misunderstood. And, you're going to walk this narrow way that is going to be new, or it's not new. It's actually so ancient, but it's for those with eyes to see and ears to hear. And the ones that are meant to, come close to my heart in this way will have their eyes, opened and their ears open to really receive the message. And yeah, for me too, because I didn't grow up religious, but I think we're all very like indoctrinated in some way by the dogma of religion. Yeah, there is just this fear for me around like speaking it right, doing it right. And I'm also like recovered good girl, perfectionist, all the things. So it was really scary for me to come forward because I felt like, ooh, this is going to rock the boat and ruffle some feathers. And it took a lot of widening in my nervous system to finally be able to bring forward way of grace and what God had always put on my heart.
Oh, I love that, Nina. You named some like really beautiful like pieces. That he, the fact that he brought you to that really like, I don't want to say dark, but that holy, separate, set apart place in the gestational. Like I feel like it's the planting of the seed in the soil and allowing yourself to really like germinate in deep relationship and grab a hold of him. And I love the reflection of, I feel as though if we are attuned and open to receiving it, that we can learn so much about the nature of him through nature. And when they are growing grapes for wine, they always prune back to the second year vine. And so I love that you were being prepared for those 2 years. And that feels, I so resonate with that because that's what these last 2 years, and especially like last year in general. Because it now it's like I'm being plucked right back to where I was exactly 2 years ago, but in deeper relationship with Christ. And what you named too of the when I was first called in high school,
Yeah.
I knew that there was something bigger like coming. Like I heard it. I heard the whole part of the life of service. I saw different visions were gifted to me at that point in time, which have now been prophesied over me again. Like it, where it just it's that confirmation, that deeper confirmation. And I so feel for you in that expansion of the nervous system to be willing. I was so afraid like to ever write on Instagram, like Christ's name, especially in being dubbed like this new, this whole movement of what keeps being referred to as like New Age to, back to Christianity,
Totally.
like type of situation. And when I posted the video of my baptism, I was so afraid of that. And then I was just like, you have to get out of yourself. This isn't about you. And I lost nearly 2,000 followers from that,
Wow.
which was like such a great, like, how attached to this are you? How attached to this are you?
Totally. Oh, it's like, yeah, it's a holy crumbling of the ego. And it's like really putting yourself at the feet of the divine and just being that vessel to be totally poured into. I know it's really asked me to relinquish so much of the illusionary control and safety that I was like gripping to around my business and to just like blast it open with what wanted to actually move through. And I'm so curious, Paris, because I don't think I've heard you speak, yeah, some of your own testimony. Like I love how you were, I feel, I mean, so similar. Like as a child, I received a lot of vision and gnosis, and God really illuminated a lot to me when I was really young. And then I think, like many, we go through a rebellious phase, we go into the exploration phase, and we go off seeking truth and all of the multitude of past that, you know, it existing because there's truth and untruth and pretty much everything. And yeah, and I didn't have my homecoming back to Christ until my early 30s. So I went through that whole period of my 20s, kind of outsourcing my worth and my wholeness and my belonging and all of these other things, but still holding this vision and this true knowing of love in my heart, but not coming back like into the fullness of that until I had my encounter in 2020. But yeah, I'm so curious, like, what that process was like for you and kind of what that encounter opened in your life.
Oh, this is like, how much time do we have, Nina?
I have plenty, so however much you have.
It's, well, for anyone listening, God woke me up back in October, right before I rededicated my life to Christ. And what flowed through me is what I now refer to as the Psalm of Paris, which is like my testimony. And so, if anybody wants to hear the very poetic version of my testimony of, there's that does exist and can be found on my podcast and Instagram, but you know, C.S. Lewis has said, and Bill W., one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, also stole this from C.S. Lewis in the big book, but it says that inside of every man, woman, and child is an inherent knowing of God. And I was one of those children. I didn't grow up in a house that was connected to any sort of religion. But like you were saying, so many of us grow up in the, it's almost like, even if you don't have a relationship with church directly, there's so much dogma and myopic thinking, as well as monotheistic thinking. Like, we love to make humans our God if we don't have a personal relationship with God. And so it's like, there's all this structure built from spaces of fear. And so a lot of like, my perspective during much of my youth was very fear-driven, shame-driven, guilt-driven. And I didn't grow up, you know, my father, by way of like his own hurts and stuff from growing up in the church, you know, it wasn't our orientation as a family, but he always felt it really important to teach us about, like, he felt like the Bible was a really good story to read, but that's it. As well as he also felt it really important to understand history, because of the way in which history gets repeated. And, you know, my father and I have had lots of conversations about that, even recently, about the way in which, you know, holy wars are started and how much of it is because we have so many people that are masters to money, rather than, you know,
exactly,
you know, understanding how to be surrendered to God, to source, and utilizing resources as tools. And so I fully understand like where that was coming from. What happened though for me, which looking back, I have this different perspective of, it was right around the time that our family home had caught on fire and burnt down, and we moved into a new house. And I actually believe that this house has lots of mold in it, but that's a whole other conversation. And by way of lots of, like, you know, my orientation, my beliefs, my personal belief set was that I needed to perform in order to receive validation for my existence. It was right around the time that my hormones started changing, and I didn't understand why or how. And so I started gaining a lot of weight. So I started tiptoeing into the world of eating disorders. And like, sure enough, I got called into youth group. Like, I started, like, I felt this nudge, which I love the way in which God will utilize the things that we hold deep, dear attachments to bring us back to him. And so one of my girlfriends wanted me to meet a gentleman at church, like she's like, I have a guy for you to meet. And so I started going, but he wasn't there. And then I kept going back.
Yeah. You're like, let me see if he'll show up today.
He's now married to one of my friends, which is like in the way that the world works. But you know, it was by way of wanting to meet my husband, which will be a common theme, that he called me back in. And so I ended up, you know, it was really challenging for me as an adolescent girl I'd never had the full God experience outside of the moment that I accepted Christ into my life when I was at camp, but it was all alone. And it was after watching the song God of Wonders was playing, and they had overlaid it with this video of like going through the cosmos, like the heavens. And I just had this deep remembrance that I like just couldn't not let go of. And I was just like, okay, I'm yours. But I never, because I didn't have the support system around me to really help continue to build that up, it was really easy for me to always exist with one foot in and one foot out.
Totally. Yeah. Same for me. Yeah.
And so I went through high school and then into college, and I was a leader in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I have like really beautiful, deep testimonies, but I still was always dating men who weren't equally yoked. So it was really easy for me to keep one foot in and one foot out. And it was, you know, I had my own level of church, what I describe as church trauma, after I ended up, you know, pregnant after wedlock, making a choice that I felt was rightful to bring life into the world, and felt like I was abandoned and judged by my original church family because I had brought life into the world not married. And again, it was still like this whole one foot in, one foot out. And I was led down a path that he needed me to walk down, which, you know, included a 16-year relationship with bulimia. It included substance abuse and alcoholism and like just the whole gamut that walked me straight into my rock bottom. And, you know, by way of relationships that I had no business being a part of, like just all of the things, but at the same time has led me right back into his hands. And it was like in that space of the rock bottom that I was walked, a very brilliant woman who is a life coach who was willing to tell me the truth and helped walk me into the rooms of recovery, because she was like unwilling to take my money.
Wow. What integrity. Yeah. Oh,
truly. It was her no that like that led to my exaltation. When I always tell the story, like I first experienced grace and mercy in the rooms of the 12-step program. And then it was through that the shame, every layer of shame started to fall away, because it was in that space in those rooms where everything that I thought that made me unlovable was met with such intense love. And I was like, whoa. And I was really taken aback. And then unfortunately the world went through the COVID, and I was led on an even deeper journey of deeper spirituality and like finding the golden thread of truth that exists around the world. And I'm so grateful for that, because it led me into the understanding of my own cyclical nature. It led me into the understanding of minerals and how energy is like transformed inside of our body. And then that led me into understanding the plant medicine world and having like deeper God experiences, that when I actually started to have my Christ encounters, I could actually know that I wasn't insane.
Yeah.
And so it was by way of sleep paralysis episodes that Christ actually started calling me back home. And it was about this time last year when the sleep paralysis episodes were starting to get to the point of being like, they were weekly, sometimes multiple times a week. And these were to the degree of like epileptic seizures. And they were so intense and debilitating. And I had a call with a gentleman who teaches people how to lucid dream. And he said in that, in, you know, when you get into that space, you can change what's happening in front of you. You can use your voice. You can use your voice and like, and change what's in front of you. You can sing, you can pray, just anything. And so then I equipped myself with all of these like mantras and things that I was going to do and was like super prepared for the next one. And the next one happened and I could, the only word that would come out of my mouth was the name of Jesus Christ. And afterward, and like it all just poof went away. And I was like, wait a second, that was really weird.
Yeah. Name of all names, the most powerful name.
And then it.
Darkness. Yeah.
And then it happened again. And then it happened again. And I was like, oh, wait a second. And then the most intense one happened at the very end of April. And so just for also overview of like storyline, during this time period, I was also, I was already in Jillian's spaces too. And she has such a beautiful orientation. I mean, what she teaches is how to be in deep respect to the cosmic masculine. So that part was already being like re-templatized and re-exalted inside of my system, that like understanding that part made this all make even more sense. And so very end of April, I'm going through my first initial housing crisis too of last year. And I'm laying out on a bed and it's like full exorcism style. And I cry out his name because it's like the most intense sleep paralysis episode I had ever had. Cry out his name. And literally, Nina, his hand falls into my hand. Mm. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I hear you. I'm listening. I hear you. And it just started to become these things that would happen where old verses, because I always had a connection to different verses and I had started a blog at different points in time in my life. And just all of a sudden, like Jeremiah 29:10 would like pop up. And that was one that had been so important to me. Just, they were just non-coincidental things kept happening. The miraculous kept happening. And so I went back into the rooms of recovery, and that was huge for me. And then I started to witness, you know, one of the things that I learned in Jillian's spaces too, is how much to be in the deep surrender of the feminine is to get out of our preferences, the egoic preferences, and everything that I was being asked to do. I didn't want to. I mean, I wanted community and I wanted to understand God, but like, it was scary to walk back into church.
Totally.
Especially in having gone to such deep levels of, you know, ceremonies and, yeah, you know, deeper teachings and learnings and going like, am I going to be like kicked out? Which I did experience.
Yeah. Right. Because unfortunately, the spirit of judgment and condemnation can be very alive through religion and church. Unfortunately, it's not always under the covenant of grace.
Yeah, which is something I did have to learn too, and then learn what that was a reflection of within myself to clean up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I began that cleanup process too. In deeper repentance also, and turning towards and beginning to really amend deeper layers of stuff from my past, stuff that I was so afraid to turn and face.
And then I was guided to a church here and received all of this confirmation that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. That was the other thing, is that, you know, for every obedient step forward, I just continued into deeper relationship with him. And then it was by way of, you know, the femme and all for love space that I began to meet other women like yourself, like Martine, like the Podlet group that I had, that held me in that deep space of mothering, where I started to experience love, not saving you, but like actual love.
Yes.
And support and eyes that would meet mine and just simply be like, we are so glad you are here.
Ugh.
And it was by way of the women that held me that I started to first experience Christ's love. And then I started to have hands laid on me. I had already begun a practice of learning how to pray back at the beginning of the year. And when I walked back into the rooms of recovery in May, I knew I wanted to be baptized finally too. And like, Nina, like just the most wild things would start happening to me. And to a point that, like, I mean, I was watching like God consciousness pour out of my son too, in like deeper confirmation ways. And just what I was experiencing at church, what I was experiencing in my everyday life, where I started to have the mirror cleaned of the disbelief that I wasn't loved.
Yeah, our biggest wound, this like deep fear of being unloved. Yeah.
Yeah.
God washes that. It's a huge washing, because we're all impacted to some extent, you know, by the core wound of separation, right? By this like amnesia of how loved we truly are. I always say it's like, even sin to me just means separation. It's amnesia of our beloved blueprint. So then we behave and act in ways that continuously keep us in that separation, instead of being baptized in beloved identity and really coming into our wholeness by way of God's grace. And it is, wow, like I'm hearing aspects of my own journey in their own unique ways, like through yours, Paris. And I just find it so incredibly beautiful how God is always pursuing us, like always and endlessly and relentlessly pursuing us. And he meets us exactly where we are. Like, I love that you brought in, like, you know, that yearning for my husband is what got me into the church. Like, maybe he's there, right? Like, God will always guide and direct us, like, from where we currently are open enough to, like, come closer to him. And he'll never stop going after our hearts. And for me, it was like, yeah, the realization that I am so worthy of this immeasurable love. Like, I am so worthy of this grace. And yeah, through my own encounter, my big encounter, my first encounter that I had with Christ, it was that just total piercing of my heart, just full baptism into love and grace, in a way that shattered the shame and the guilt and the blame that I had perpetuated within myself. And it was just his voice just spoke over me so powerfully. It was just like, I'm with you. I've never left you. You are my cherished and chosen daughter. All you have to do is receive this love. Just come home to this love, like truly like prodigal father, you know, and just running, or him running to me, like out with the ring and the robe, just waiting and ready to wrap me in the fullness of his embrace. It was just me deciding to come home and to step fully into that. It's huge.
Oh, so it really blows me away. And the other part too, that I hear the thread also, is how much we get met in the languaging that we can receive. Because part of where I really started to be called back to in reading scripture was like, oh my goodness, this is a blueprint for how our bodies work. I want to learn more about this. How do I learn more about this? Because there's something here, like reading different things about this spirit. And I was like, this is the basal body temperature. This is like, this is how this works. And and he meets us in those places, the places that only we will understand, so that we can understand what it's like for the to leave the 99 for the one, and to know that like, all it really takes is the willingness to set aside our preference and our ego to actually receive love.
Yep. It's such, it's a big thing. Cause, and it is, it's like a clearing of the mirror of all of these, other perceptions that we've maybe had from church and religion that we've projected upon to God, or the fractured relationships that we've had with our mothers and fathers and those parental figures, or our own broken beliefs about ourselves, and how we assume then that's how God must feel about me. Like, it's just such, it is such a clearing. And I love, you said something earlier too, and like that journey with recovery. Like, I find too, for me personally, God didn't really have me focus. Like, I was in a dark place before I came to him, but he like didn't really have me focus on, clearing the darkness and then like, focusing on that. He was just like, let my light just overwhelm this darkness. Like, truly, that is my job. Like, as you just continue to lock eyes with me and my perfect love, like all of these things will start to become cleansed and purified. And like you said, Paris, there's a really powerful thread of walking this path with other women. Like, for me too, that was such a huge, huge part of my journey. And for a while I was on my own. Like, I was in, the secret place, just had no other sisters in Christ. And I prayed fervently. I was like, God, please send me women who are walking with you in this way, who, are walking in devotion, who are in their feminine essence, and like, just experiencing you the way that I am. And slowly but surely, because he is so faithful, he started, gifting me sisters like Martine and the many women that I'm now deeply and closely connected to. And it's in that mothering that occurs within that frequency field that we cultivate together. And again, just like you said, it's like not in a way that I need anyone to fix me or save me or whatever. It's just like, let me reflect to your own radiance. Like, let me help to remind you who you are, because as that woman is postured to God, it's like God's light is shining right through her eyes. So as I look at her, I'm remembering that luminosity in myself. And then there was this like accountability and this deepening into my own holy responsibility as I was surrounded by other women who are also anchoring their own feminine maturity and really anchoring in their relationship with God and letting that guide their lives, their marriages, their friendships, their businesses, their service, like all of the things. It was just such a holy expansion.
I so love this so much, because this is the thing too that I learned in those spaces around, like, you have that desire that gets seated, that ask for sisterhood to be really like experienced in. And it's in those spaces that we're willing to come and let the veil, our own personal veil of our hearts, of the things that we believe make us unlovable, and letting other women like love us through that and go like, I get it. I know what that's like. I hear you.
Yes.
I don't understand. I hear.
Siri doesn't understand. She's not being mothered by the women. Yeah. It's so true. It's like, and just like you said, Paris, like, you were a little bit more, connected to the church and people that were following Christ and believers. Like, I had that when I was young, like as a child, and then didn't really have that through teenage years, into my 20s. But I can see too, it's like, when we're then surrounded by those more in the world, it's hard to stay connected to truth and to Christ. And I just believe this is why God gifts us friendship and fellowship. And even like Jesus, before he, tells the disciples to go out and heal the sick and cast out demons and spread the gospel, he calls them into companionship with him. He's like, you are first my friend. Like, you are first in this intimate communion. And then I believe fellowship with others just keeps us so anchored in his word, in his heart, in his truth. And just like, my life has changed so much. I mean, and I know we know this, it's like you are a byproduct of those that you're surrounded by, but like, truly, my life has changed just so dramatically by walking with other women that are also held and rooted in Christ. Like, it almost too, like, healed the sisterhood wound for me in so many ways, because we were connected to this like bigger energy of love. So it just like washed that illusion again of separation, which can show up in these sisterhood wounds and those patterns that I think, again, we just so ancestrally carry. And I've never had such the depth and also like cleanliness of female friendships in my life. Like, being in Christ has really established that for me.
Yes, I so echo this. It's the thing that I wish that every woman would get to experience, both like in real life and in the virtual spaces of being held with such clean integrity, like that isn't judgment, that allows you to be the full experience of the full spectrum of existence, to be held from that menarch, matriarch into menopause, like part of life, and being able to turn towards, like, that's where I first learned to turn towards, to ask for what I need in these really like in big moments, in like repair and, you know, rupture and repair cycles with women, and like being able to find love again and go like turn towards and to also understand how much everybody, that was also the place that I began to learn detachment with love, right? Like that we each have our own individual journeys, that we each have the testimony that's being created for us, and how much we contribute to one another in that space, and what a gift it is to watch another woman go out and shine, and so that God may be glorified without competition.
Yes. Yeah, amen. This is like the big shift. Cause yeah, one of my deepest struggles before Christ was comparison and competition. It was very subtle, because I'm a woman that actually has always had very strong female friendships, but because my whole life was based upon performance for my value, if I saw others exceeding or accelerating, you know, quicker than me, it was like that internal scarcity that would show up. Then now, okay, well, my piece of pie is now taken, so I have to now work harder and try harder and earn and achieve, you know, even more than I already was doing. And it was like, yeah, this perpetual loop, like this pit in my stomach. And I would notice it and I'd be like, why can't I be happy for this person? And I just saw like, wow, this has been such like a core thread that's been carried through my DNA and through my lineage that I am the one to break the chains of. And then when I came back to God, he just like illuminated this boundless like abundance and just like infinite possibilities and potentials. And then it's like, as I just surrendered my will completely to his, it's now not about me. It's about him being glorified. And that totally, yeah, like detached me from this cycle of competition and scarcity that was happening. And now postured me to like, yes, you go, girl. Like, please, we need more of God's love and truth and grace happening and rippling into the field, because we're not here to do it on our own. It's like this ripple is only happening through all the women and men, but you know, women are who I'm connected to most, being fruitful and multiplying. You know, it's like it can't just be done through one womb, it has to happen through many, many hearts, many wombs, many temples.
Oh gosh, there's like so much we could go. This is something that in similar fashion, I was offered the opportunity to meet in much deeper layers. And it's like, it's an ongoing process, especially in being in the online space where a lot of that can be like weaponized around where, and that's something that I actually learned from the Rooms of Recovery, because like you have this book that was written in the 1930s, just like, let's start with that book, because like we can go even into scripture where we go like, all these thoughts, these things that I thought were original only in my head, suddenly started to be spoken in the rooms, or were already written long before I ever existed. Yep. And then we see that, and we go into like scripture too. And then you start hearing different people speak these things that you believe are only seated inside of you. And it's not because it's not supposed to be spoken out of your mouth. It just becomes that reason, that whole like, God clearly wants this to be spread out. It doesn't mean that you don't get to share it. And like you're saying, like how beautiful it is to witness all of us go out into the kingdom and glorify him even more. Like we each have our individual seating. And it's like, it was around this time last year that there was like some different things happening in the greater fields, like in my own personal like perspective and fields that were being shifted around the conversation of the deeper sisterhood wound. And I started to wonder, you know, like, I wonder what it would have been like if Eve threw a fit, if another woman gave birth.
Right.
If she would have stood there and gone, no, I gave birth first.
Yeah.
Instead of going like the grandmother, that crone energy of going like, wow, look at what's being created from a space of legacy. Look at how eternity, like you named that whole, like the ancient thread. Could you imagine if the people that originated were like, sorry, this has now been done. You can't.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the line stops here. Yeah. Yeah. We'd be in limitation. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's in that space of having other women hold me and the witnessing me and the like, come out, pull the gold out. You don't need to, like, I see you in your pain and hurt. And like, I just want to watch you spread your wings and fly. And that was like, you know, in my Podlet group in All for Love, I was gifted this, we're the seven sisters, and women who would hold me in somatic therapy sessions where I started to like really have divine encounters and like learning the power of prayer. It's just, you know, the most blissful experiences that taught me how to stay in my body, to stay in sensation, and to be mothered in that experience of like, you can still be loved in all of who you are.
Yes. That's it. It's like, yeah, that mother hen just like spreading her wings and wrapping all the little parts of us. And yeah, I know I was telling you before, Paris, it's like for me, even before I came back to Christ, I was like coming back to God in 2017 because my whole experience back was catalyzed through, I know you spoke of, you know, having a child out of wedlock, like my experience was really catalyzed through my decision to have an abortion, which was like, again, the pinnacle of shame in my life and guilt and grief and despair and really 2 years of depression that followed that decision. And it was during that time that I really had to face all parts of myself and really finally meet, you know, essentially years of emotions and feelings that I just stuffed down and suppressed because I was just a good girl my whole life and didn't want to, you know, rock the boat in my household, which was already so emotionally unstable, you know, with my family system. And it was just like the bubbling up of all of this energy. And I really, yeah, viscerally remember this mother in myself, like really rising and like opening her arms and really, you know, just pouring compassion and love and forgiveness and tenderness onto all of these parts that had felt so broken. And of course, like, then I see God behind her, like God was there too, because I could not have gone through the level of forgiveness that I did at that time without God. Like, I wasn't with Christ yet, but there was the presence of God. And also, you know, the earth, I spent a lot of time in nature and just sitting on, you know, the beaches on Cape Cod in the cold, desolate winter and just being so held by that energy and essence of the mother, and really having this tremendous healing through slowing down and just really nurturing myself and nourishing myself in ways that I just didn't before, you know, that I didn't know to do. And then, you know, Christ came in an encounter a couple of years after that. And I feel I was only able to receive him fully because there was already like this frequency of the mother in my system of like being in the receptivity to allow that much grace to flow in, because I was already practicing that in myself and having to hold that little girl in me like she was my little daughter, and like looking at her with the eyes of how I wish I had been mothered, and having to like give her that experience again.
That's, I'm really curious, Nina, too, in your experience of coming, like in your greater homecoming of like that mother internally, how that overlays to your deepening of relationship to like your menstrual cycle and to understanding, because I make the assumption that that was similarly like something that you never had like vocabulary around or deeper understanding around.
Totally. Nope. I was like many women of my generation. I was handed birth control when I was 16, you know, and for acne, not because I was having sex. And I was on the pill for, 10 years. And when I went off of it, when I was 26, was kind of like, the beginning of this journey. And I remember when I went off of the pill, it was like, I just dropped down into my body. I was like, whoa, here is a whole new terrain that I had no idea even existed, which is hilarious because I grew up as a dancer my whole life. I studied the body as an occupational therapist in college. Like, everything has always been about the body for me, but I was living with my body, not in my body, for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And it was during this time, because I went off the pill in, I think, 2016. I had, my abortion in 2017 and went through that dark night of the soul. And it was simultaneously in that time that then I was connecting to, my body, my menstrual cycle, my rhythms, like really understanding more of my woman. Cause most of us didn't have that. Most of us, we hadn't experienced a rite of passage from being a girl to becoming a woman. Like, that has been so lost. And many of us now are existing as, you know, very unintegrated women because we didn't have these rites of passages and other elder women to really, you know, guide the way and be a lighthouse for us. So it's like this whole journey, has been a reclamation of my womanhood, my holy daughterhood, you know, this connection, communion with Christ, and like the fullness of that expression in myself. And it's just so incredible too, because the Holy Spirit, as we know, you know, lives in the body. So this is something too, I'm like just so convinced of, like, we have to be in the body to really be walking with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think is missing from church and religion so much, is just so, right, like neck up, like logical, analytical, like just study the Bible, just like so obsessive around, logic and reason. And to me, walking with God and being embodied with the Holy Spirit really asks us to rest in the marrow of the mystery. Like, you have to be in your body. You got to be in like that holy unknown, like the great, you know, existence here. And really, we're meant to know God through that embodied conviction, not informational indoctrination. It's like, I think you really have pure encounter with God through the body, through the Holy Spirit. So, and I feel that's why women are coming back home to God in these more mystical, supernatural ways, because we are so templated for that kind of communion, because we're designed to exist so deeply in our bodies.
Oh, yes. I love that you said the marrow of it. I get so excited. My other Roman Empire lately has been in, I love, oh man, the word escapes me, but embryology. There we go. Mm-hmm. Because I believe embryology is such a beautiful reflection of Genesis and then our Genesis and how much we can learn about life in general from existing fully in the body. Like I've been working a lot on my psoas and then mm-hmm. your subclavicle, oh my goodness, mastoid muscles, like the one right here, like in our neck. Yeah. That are like literal reflections of our psoas too. And then you think about like how this psoas holds ancient memory and then, you know, connected to our use of our voice and just everything you're naming is just like, that's the part that like lights me up so deeply, because it is there. We can't have you. We need both. That's polarity. Like this is the literal reflection of polarity. And like you were saying, like, you know, so many women that are part of this mysticism lineage that are starting to get called into the exaltation of Christ, like really coming to have these divine encounters of Christ. Like it makes sense because that is part of the natural developmental next steps. Because if we fight it all the time, like we can't have one without the other. Like everybody, I feel as though culturally we keep getting this divide, this war of the wills, this belief of opposition, man versus woman, matriarchy versus patriarchy. When it's like, no, we actually need them both, because it's in the space of polarity. Polarity is a natural fact of life. We have negative and positive electrons, ions, like all of this is, you know, this is truth. That is how electricity moves. And there is a gap. There is a gap in between, which is when the veil pulls apart. It's when the tension happens. And we see this reflected in our body. Our aorta does this. The cervix does this. There's so many places inside of the body where we literally see this happen over and over and over again. And that's how the veil tears, so that life can be ushered forward. Yeah. And we have this invisible war that keeps taking place that doesn't need to happen. We need both. Yeah. We need the fact. Bill Johnson has this really great quote around.
I love Bill Johnson too. He's so great.
Awesome. But I so look forward to the day I get to go up to Bethel, like someday soon to go.
Well, we should do a whole gathering. There's quite a few women that I'm connected to that, yeah, really love his ministry and what he's doing. So, that'd be amazing.
I'm so grateful. Jesus culture that I attend here, it like comes by way of Bethel and
amazing.
There's so many, I mean, and so it's like, I love that deeper connection, and man, the SOZO program that they have has transformed my life for understanding trauma and how the spiritual malady of that on a deeper level. And oh gosh, but anyways, Bill Johnson has a quote around like, we must be hungry and full. It's like that hungry and satiated. That's what keeps us moving forward.
Yes. Oh, this is reminding me so much. It's so funny you're bringing, I was just talking about the Zozo program with one of the women in my membership the other day, because it's something that a few of us are very interested in. I'm like, wow, just all of the synchronicities that are coming up. And it's, yeah, that being hungry and full is reminding me too of something that my pastor, Damon Thompson, who studies with Bill Johnson as well. It's like a very connected little network. Yeah, he already says, you know, we get to live in like, and I think maybe this was from Bill Johnson that he quoted, already, not yet. It's like, it's right, it's already done. Like the finished work of the cosmic curse of separation is already complete and not fully yet. And you are living evidence of that curse being completed through the embodiment of the Holy Spirit and you being a bridge for the kingdom on this earth. It's like living in the duality, the simultaneous nature of that. Like, it's already done. And I get to still show up for the walk every day, you know, hand in hand with God of what he wants to continue to cultivate and bridge on this earth through me being a deeper embodiment of his heart and through all of us being beautiful bridges for his kingdom through our service, through our relationships, through our family systems, through the way that we love and pour love, you know, onto this planet. It's, yeah, you just so reminded me of that, of like hungry and full. It's like being in that both and, like the satiation and also, yeah, the holy hunger at the same time. And that's how my relationship feels with God. Like, it really does. It's like, I'm always so fulfilled, so satiated. And he gives us the desire for more.
Yeah.
Like, he gives us that. And I think for a lot of people too, that's a big reclamation to own and embrace. And I can want more, and not from an egoic, selfish way, but just from a way of, and now, like, more kingdom, more beauty, more love, more peace, more grace, like more of these things.
Mm. There's one thing that I will, that feels really present to name too, to pull in some of the things that you've been saying, Nina, around, like, you had mentioned, like, it's one thing to be in relationship, like, with your body. It's another thing to be in, like, in your body. And in this conversation around being, like, hungry and satiated, it's the humility to be a constant student of this life, to not think that we ourselves have it all figured out and are manipulating those around us. This is why community, women need women, bottom line. If we want to be in respect and be, like, dignified towards men, we need to be held by other women as humble students of life. We need elder women who check us. We need women of our own age and younger women to learn from, not just to teach to, but to learn from also. And this is the thing, is that, because I watched this happen and I've done this myself, right? Like, it's really easy to think that we know when we have yet to participate in, right? Like, that's the relationship that I had with Christ. Like, I had all of this information, and simultaneously I did that in Jillian's fields, in other teachers' fields too, like, where you can absorb just enough to think that you're doing it, but unless you're in the middle of the pool, like, it's really easy to sit on the edge with your feet dipped in and go, like, oh no, I'm totally doing this.
Yeah.
But it's not unless you're actually being held in the holy baptism by fire of being loved and being adjusted by other women, so that you're not manipulating and controlling everybody else around you.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy this is coming in, Paris, because this has probably been my personal biggest edge, to be honest. Like, I, you know, I'm like so loving, so devotional, but also for many years, like, a little guarded and protected. Like, I was the mother of all, but never let myself be mothered or fully seen or totally vulnerable. Like, even in, this is where I've really edged the last couple of years, like, even in group spaces, I would be like, I'm the observer, you know. And it's funny, because then in my own spaces, I'm the leader, right? And it's like, I'm so present, so vulnerable, so exposed. But in other spaces, I would hide. I would, yeah, just have my little feet in the water. And it's funny, because I'm even in Jillian's All for Love right now, in the pre-recorded aspect of it at the moment, which has been so great. And I can't wait to start the live piece, because I'm really yearning for the deeper community support. But even, you know, I notice in some of the teachings, you know, I'll be totally honest, and I love Jillian so much. I mean, she has illuminated so much for me, but I'll, like, check out sometimes. Oh, I already know that. Oh, I've already heard that. Oh, I've already practiced that. And then, like, then God is just, like, nudging me. He's like, no, listen again. Listen a little bit more intently. Listen with your full heart. Like, continue to be curious and humbled and open. And this is what he asks of us, you know, be like children, those that are like children will enter the kingdom. And to me, that speaks to that, like, being in a state of awe and wonder and curiosity of not thinking I know it all, or I've already done that, or I've checked off that box because I've done XYZ program in the past. It's like, no, can you show up totally fresh slate to this space and really let yourself receive and be deeply seen? And that's why I've loved these spaces so much, because they've really pushed me deeper into those edges in myself. And I see this in a lot of women, and especially a lot of women who are leaders and who lead their own spaces. It can be really vulnerable to step into a space and actually be seen. We're not always used to that. This is like a really big edge I notice in a lot of female entrepreneurs, you know, like really letting myself go there and bring my full exposed heart and know that I can show up imperfectly and I don't have to have the answers and it all figured out. Like, this is actually a space for me to receive. And like you said, Paris, and I love this point, willing to be corrected and adjusted lovingly, you know, and that's something too, that was a big turning point for me a couple of years ago, is really being open for feedback, like really letting myself receive feedback and really asking for feedback from other women of truly, how do you receive me? How is this received? What can I do better? Those are questions I didn't ask up until just literally a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, it's truly one of the greatest gifts to be like absolutely vulnerable, right? And to that's how we begin to cultivate like true intimacy with ourselves and then with Christ and then with one another, is in that willingness to say like, I don't have it all figured out. I need help. And that courage to do that is part of what drops us down even further in our nervous system and in our body, and helps shake out that fear that I have to do this alone, the fear that I might not know everything, the fear that like of being seen, like you're saying, because a lot of these spaces and spaces that I've been in, like they bring in some really powerful like women who, you know, like we all put on our pants the same way.
Totally.
Nobody has it figured out. Like, we're forever non-professional humans. And that's the thing too, around the willingness to get, to jump all the way in the pool, to be seen by other women, to be held. So then we don't go out into our life and spill it every place else.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like this beautiful, holy containment that's so expansive. It's like almost like the paradox of that, like that feeling of being contained but then expanding from how willing I am to be seen. Yeah. So good, Paris. I'm curious too, there's like so many beautiful realms that we just went in, but I'm curious too, and I know you've done so much with Jillian, and maybe this is kind of one of the last pieces we bring in. I'm just curious, like, how your relationship with God has really transformed your relationship with men, and like how you interact with the masculine.
This is such a good question, because I learned a lot last year, just in, and I was in Femme for a couple of months. Like, I danced in the outside realms of Jillian's field for a couple of years and participated in some other like bigger feminine, not bigger, but big feminine teachers, like in that I was guided to, and was really held beautifully in lots of different spaces. And when the time finally came that I was able to jump and say yes to Femme, it was just a couple of months of being in there and participating in Maria's devotional alchemy, which were like honey and salve to my soul. And then being in All for Love, as well as like walking back into the rooms of recovery and working, like I participate in multiple different programs, like 12-step programs, to help me do the deeper cleaning of my life. But the way that it's transformed my relationship to mortal man, and like this is still an ongoing process, right?
Same for me.
And probably will be for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of it started to shift my relationship with Grayson. Like reading Alison Armstrong's The Queen's Code, like really began to shift a lot. And then teaching that also began to shift a lot. And then hearing other women and what was coming forward began to shift a lot. And I started to take my hands off of the steering wheel a bit. And I pay attention a lot to like how the body manifests different things. And Grayson's lower jaw had started to like protrude out. And the lower jaw is actually, is said to be connected to the feminine essence. And I was like, wow, talk about an overbearing
mother. Oh, wow.
And, super fascinating. And then he and I started to go through our differentiation process too this last year, which happened simultaneously. Like I was watching what was happening on a world scale, as well as what was happening between Grayson and I, like in our differentiation. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is like, I don't need to pay attention to the news because all I need to do is pay attention to what's happening in my life. That I can tell you what's happening on the other side of the world by way of like what's happening here. And, you know, just either way, the long and short of it is I've witnessed radical, supernatural restoration of my family of origin. I have watched the miraculous, like nothing short of miraculous psychic change within myself. Of how I show up, how I'm willing to tell people no, to not just people please and fawn. I had one of these opportunities recently presented to me of like being, of, you know, like clearing stuff out and amending stuff from the past of like no longer holding men hostage because of who it is that I'm trying to make them be. To fill the God size hole within myself, because why won't they just be who it is that I want them to be, rather than going like, actually, I'm going to collect what, as Jillian says, like these data berries and go like, actually, I don't think that this works for me, or this isn't something that like I'm trying to work and like, this isn't working. And so like, I think that this is my time to like, to go. And because I held a lot of men hostage in relationships. Like that's an unfortunate thing to name out loud, but you know, I did. And in fact, that is something that though I tried to lovingly protect Grayson for many years, I didn't know that I was holding him hostage. And it's still something that I'm cleaning up. Right? Like in my willingness to step out of the way and to do the things as from a place of true divine service. Like that's part of where I've like, I mean, that's that role of mother. I don't remember if we had already pressed record or if this was when we were talking before, but that, you know, the templatizing of my life, the structuring of my life to let the ego fall away so I can simply be a vessel and a channel of God to build things from a place of service, to be in relationship with everything around me from a place of divine service, like to Grayson as a mother, to my brother as a sister, to my father, my mortal father as a daughter. And to put my ego aside and be willing to hold sensation within my body. Like that's a one of the stanza within it was a poem that I wrote called Thy Will Be Done. And I talk about how I used to pray for, I asked Santa for world peace when I was a child. And I realized that prayer for world peace was simply an ask to know that I was okay, that I could travel anywhere in the world and know that I was okay. And it was through the spaces of learning, like the spaces of being held by other women, that I learned how to hold my response to another person, because I'm not responsible for their response, but I'm responsible for my response to them. And can I regulate my nervous system enough? Can I ask for what I need? If it's a moment to breathe, if it's, you know, whatever it is.
Totally. Oh, this is so good. And I just love how much you've brought up sensation and our responsibility as women to really know how to widen and dilate with sensation, because this was my journey too. It was like, I really need to learn how to be with me and what's going on inside of me before, you know, I then try to control the other people around me, because that's what I did my whole life, because I just couldn't deal with not being in control for a long time. And it showed up in my relationships with men as well. Like, I love that you said holding them hostage. Like, yeah, I can relate to that to a degree. And then also I was the escape artist. I was always the runner. When actually love would widen and deepen, I would say, see you later, bye, because I actually couldn't hold the sensation of a man's capacity to love me, because I wasn't able to hold this capacity of love in myself. It was like a really big stretching that I had to do, and only God, you know, fully filled that for me. And now, yeah, even in marriage with my husband, I see, and I met my husband about a year into my relationship with Christ, and I recognize now this is the most stabilized relationship I've ever been in, because I developed that stability in my relationship with God first, and like really came into this deep sense of wholeness. And my husband is a beautiful, amazing man, but he's imperfect, you know, just as I am. And to not run the second I saw an imperfection, because that's again what I did. Oh, they're not every single thing, or they're, you know, not doing it the way that I exactly want them to do. And it's given me so much grace. And of course, you know, my man is integrous and ethical and all the things. Like, he's such a good man, but you know, we can't control anyone outside of ourselves. So, you know, I can't dictate exactly how he's going to do every little thing, but I can widen my own capacity to hold sensation in my body and really wholly accept him for who he is, instead of trying to change him into something that he's not, just because that's of my preferences. Like, and I love that we spoke about this so much, like, God works for your good, not for your preferences. Like, this truly is such a journey of letting go, not letting go of like your desire and different standards, but it's like how those things are going to be orchestrated, like not hanging on of like, this is exactly how it needs to be, and this is how it needs to come through, and this is exactly what it looks like, right? That's all that entitlement, you know, just being so graspy to our expectations and preferences of how things should be, instead of just letting God honestly just blow our minds and like really being in that more open state of how great can it be if I really can receive what's in front of me.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing you touched on this earlier too, about that widening being that entry place to love. And this is the one thing, cause I was listening to it come out of my mouth also, just to make sure that women also understand who are listening to this, around that, you know, the adjustments or being molded, allowing ourselves to be clay in the hands of the Creator, is a really joyful, childlike wonder and fun experience. Like, there's so much love and laughter on the other side of allowing ourselves to be molded for His purpose. And how much that, like, that entry point into being open, honest, and willing, and as well as like very vulnerable, is what allows us the space to be, to meet bliss, to meet love, to really be, to find that other side that exists of like, just, yeah, being children in the kingdom.
Yeah. Amen, Paris. Like, yes, that's truly it. Oh my gosh. So good. I'm like, we could probably talk all day, Paris. I'm like, there's so many. So I'm like, you are just always speaking my language. And yeah, I love how much you're also in the body and like in all of the really beautiful interconnected layers of that. Like, I'm always astounded by what you share and like how you say and speak things in those realms. It just always illuminates so much for me. And it's like a holy remembrance that's resurrected in myself. Is there anything else that you feel called to share, say, speak?
Can I close out with that poem about women teaching?
Yes. Oh, yes, please do. I would love to hear that.
Okay. Cause that feels, is there anything else that you feel like you want to?
No, I feel so complete. I mean, really, this is something I always say, but yeah, I just really pray that women just come home to the remembrance of how loved and cherished and chosen they are and have always been, and that we just continue to come into our bodies to really resurrect our beloved blueprint and just allow that to be your foundation. And for that, all women's hearts to just come closer to the great love of God and the immeasurable frequency of love that's found through Christ.
So beautiful. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you so much, Paris.
Okay. Men taught me how to be penetrated, reorganized, and adjusted. However, please make no mistake, it was the women who taught me how to orgasm. It was the women who sat and showed me the name of every part of my soul. It was the women who taught me how to receive my own touch first. It was the women who watched me trace and feel every mound, crevice, and smoothed out valley of my creation, and to fall in love with the reflection of the mirror before me in all ways. It was the women who held me as I cried rivers of tears and shook every lie and disbelief from my nervous system. It was the women who then watched me hold myself as those shakes became trembling and guttural cries of glee that transported me all the way to God. It was the women who taught me to hear the music that hums from the energy of creation, to find the pulse of my heart and the cadence of the Creator in the moonlight, in the grocery store, in the car, in the laundry, at the sink, and to move my hips to the beat of that drum. It was the women who taught me how to get on my knees and surrender to Him. It was the women who taught me the pleasure and joy found in obedience. It was the women who taught me how to meet another eye to eye as we cleaned out the big hungry ghosts of the psyche so that those spaces could be filled with His love. It was the women who whispered, "You're okay, stay right here," and then how to wipe the sweet nectar of eternal bliss from my lips and say, "More, please, yes, more, please." Though it was the men who taught me how to take it, please make no mistake, it was the women who showed me the Garden of Eden first.
I have like tears just welling up in my eyes. Oh, I just felt that through every depth of my heart, Paris.
Thank you for letting me share, Nina. And thank you for being one of those women.
Thank you for being one of those women and just feeling such immense gratitude for, yeah, all of the women that we're connected to and all of the women who will get to receive this. And just may this conversation be of such service and support for every heartbeat that tunes in. And Paris, I just feel so blessed that we got to sit down together today.
It was truly the greatest gift, Nina. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And there you have it. If you're feeling called to explore more about Nina's work and Way of Grace, be sure to check out the links in our show notes. Remember, healing the sisterhood wound and embracing our beloved identities as daughters of God is a journey that can transform not just our lives, but the world. Until next time, stay blessed and keep shining your divine light.